continue to look at what we started last week with regards to the word sanctification. Sometimes when you do things like this, it's necessary to bore you with ugly-looking words, grammar rules, and this sort of thing. I don't particularly gravitate towards that, but I'm aware that it's a necessary part of the process to get to the great accuracy of God's Word. There are some words up on the board. I'm going to be brief with them just to be points of reference so I can try to make something track through from the Old Testament into the New Testament. Now, that's always a task because a lot of times you do not find corresponding Greek words to the Hebrew counterpart in the Old Testament. But one way that God has blessed laymen like myself and other people who study God's Word is that oftentimes you will find a Old Testament verse repeated or referred to in the New Testament, and you can look at the corresponding Greek words that are used in that particular verse, relate them back to that Old Testament verse, which of course was in Hebrew, and you can see that the words correspond that way. And in this particular study, that's the manner in which I choose to proceed, so it will be simplified the best that I can. Part one of this teaching, we began to look at the Hebrew word kadosh. We saw that kadosh, which is mostly translated to sanctify in the Old Testament, is used 172 times in the Hebrew Old Testament in the King James Version. From our study, we saw that kadosh is referred to, it refers to a variety of things that are separate from that which is common. We see that it could refer to something that is good. We saw that it could refer to that something which was also bad. We saw, tracked it through the word. These CDs will be available if you want to go through them again, and began to observe its occurrences and its usages. Well, the first usage of it was in Genesis, where we saw that a day was separated from the other days of the week, and that was the seventh day. We then saw that the Sabbath was named to be separated, and the people of Israel were invited to be part of that separation. We saw the word used with regards to the wicked being separated and set apart for the purpose of the day of slaughter. We saw the word used with regards of nations in Jeremiah being separated, and that particular reason was for destroying another nation, basically Babylon. We saw that a solemn assembly was set apart, sanctified for a pagan god. We saw the word used with regards to bounds at Mount Sinai, that this was an area that the children of Israel were not able to enter. That's where God was going to meet with Moses, so that was separated out. We saw that the word sanctification, in use of its word itself, kodash, means to separate that from which is common, to separate out. But we read in Wilson's where the different context in which it occurs infers other meanings to it, but that's not the base meaning of the word. The base meaning of the word is to separate. We saw, depending on the context in which it appears, that sometimes a cleansing or a purifying is involved, where the children of Israel put off their clothes and they cleansed themselves, sanctified themselves before God came and met with them in the mountain and spoke the word, the Ten Commandments to them with Moses. But this is to be gathered from the context. It is not the definition of the word, okay? He has a Chevy. Chevrolet is the make of the vehicle, okay? But if I were to say to you he had a Corvette, or if I were to say to you he had a red Corvette, Not necessarily, there's the Chevrolet, every Chevrolet, a red Corvette. That's determined by the sentence. You understand? The Chevrolet is the manufacturer. GM is the manufacturer who produces the vehicle. The Corvette is the model. The color is red. It's a big difference. One is the automobile. The other is the description of the automobile and the model. You see the difference? It's a slight nuance, but unless you're aware of these and you work the Word of God, you'll fall into error. Now I want to look at this word underneath Kadosh, and it's spelled similarly. It's spelled with an O, Kadosh. Kadosh, its counterpart, Kadosh, is mostly translated to sanctify. And I told you most of the times in the Hebrew Old Testament, that's what it comes up. Now, there is variations of how it's translated, but most of the time it's translated to sanctify. This particular word here, Kadosh, is the adjective form of this word. Now, when this Hebrew word is used in the Old Testament, it comes up 116 times in the Hebrew King James, and most of the time, this particular word is translated holy. Holy. So you have separate, sanctify, Kadosh, and then Kadosh is holy. Holy. Now go to Leviticus chapter 11. In Leviticus chapter 11, looking in verse 43, it says, "You shall not make yourself abominable with any creeping thing that creepeth, neither shall you make yourselves unclean with them, that you should be defiled thereby." Verse 44, "For I am the Lord your God. Ye shall therefore sanctify yourselves." Ye shall therefore sanctify, and the word sanctify is there, our top word there. Kadosh, you should sanctify yourselves. You should separate yourselves out. Then it goes on and it says, "And ye shall be" what? Holy. The Hebrew word holy there is the adjective form of Kadosh, which is Kadosh. It's telling them to sanctify themselves, separate themselves out. Then it says, "Ye shall be holy, for I am holy," same word. "Neither shall you defile yourself with any manner of creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Verse 45 says, "For I am the Lord that bringeth you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. Ye shall therefore be Kadosh, holy, for I am Kadosh, holy. This is the law of the beast and of the fowl and of every living creature that moveth in the waters, and of every creature that creepeth upon the earth, to make a difference," got it, "between the unclean and the clean, and between the beast that may be eaten and that which may not be eaten." The Hebrew word rendered sanctified in verse 44 is Kadosh. And the Hebrew word rendered holy in verses 44 and 45 is Kadosh, the adjective form of the word Kadosh. The Hebrew adjective is used to describe something as marked off, separate, set apart from that which is common. The Hebrew adjective is used to what? To describe something. It's used to describe something that's marked off. To take the Corvette and mark it off would be this word, Kadosh. I separate it. To say to you it's a red Corvette. To take the car and mark it off, it's one thing. But to say to you it's a red Corvette, now what I'm doing is I'm going further. I'm turning around and I'm describing to you that which has already been separated and marked off. You understand? This way, when you look at it, you can tell by the way I described it what it is, what it's supposed to be anyway. According to this record, God is holy or separate from the common. And the people of Israel were to separate themselves or set themselves apart from things that were defiled or unclean. God is described as holy, and he wanted his people to separate themselves from that which was common or unclean. Kodesh and Kodesh have meanings that indicate a dividing, a marking off, a separating or setting apart of people or things from the common, with the result that they are dedicated or devoted to some special purpose. The Sabbath was separated from the other days of the week. The Sabbath was separated from the other days of the week. The purpose of that was to keep it holy. It was the Lord's Sabbath. That was the reason. You didn't do any work on that day. It had a purpose. God separated that day, and on that day he said, now this is what I want you to do, and this is what I don't want you to do. There was a purpose for that separation. Wicked people were set apart for a purpose in Jeremiah. The purpose that those particular wicked people were set apart was for the day of what? Slaughter. That was their purpose. Nations were set apart in the day in the book of Jeremiah. That was, they were separated out. They were not only separated out, they were given a purpose. The purpose that God called a bunch of nations together in the book of Jeremiah was for the purpose of destroying one nation, Babylon. Understand? So the separation is only part of it. It's a separation, but the separation is for a purpose. For a purpose. A day was set apart. A day was set apart. Remember 2 Kings 10, 20, it was Jehu. He set a solemn assembly apart, sanctified for all the worshipers of Baal. He set that day apart, special day, for the reason. What was the purpose? Well, if you just read the verse, it makes him look like, you know, he's an evil guy. But he wasn't an evil guy. He was a good guy. Because what he did is he called all these people together that worship Baal in the kingdom. And he went to his guard and he said to his guard, he said, look, you get all these guys inside the temple here, the church, wherever it was. And he says, when they all get in here, go through the whole crowd and make sure everybody here is a worshiper of Baal. Then once you find out everybody here is a worshiper of Baal, lock the doors, and if anyone gets out alive, he says, it's coming out of your hide. So he called them together, you know, but just reading that verse looks like he was screwed up. He wasn't screwed up. What he did was he performed a mass murder on all the evil prophets. And you think, I'm a mean guy. So Kodesh and Kodesh have meanings that indicate a dividing, a marking off, a separating or setting apart of people or things from the common lot, with the result that they are dedicated or devoted to some special purpose. The special purpose might be good, the special purpose might not be so good. Now what we have to do is we have to bridge into the New Testament. I want you to go to Hebrews chapter 10. And we're going to see if we can find the corresponding Greek words that would match what Kodesh and Kodesh mean from the Old Testament into the New Testament. And in Hebrews chapter 10, now you got to remember, to sanctify, to separate from that which is common. There are six common days of the week. The seventh was to be separated. Okay? There was a common area for Israel to meet in. They weren't allowed to meet in where Moses met with God. Okay? There were a bunch of common nations out there, and God separated a bunch of them out to go against one nation. You understand? So it's a picking from a group. It's a picking from a lot to make this to separate. It had to be picked out of something. If I had a basket of apples here and I separated off the good apples. I picked them from the common lot of apples, right? So if a little worm was there, I don't pick him, right? What's worse than that is a half a worm after you take a bite. He's separated in another way. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 28. He that despises Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and count it the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Here we see in verse 29, the Greek word that is rendered sanctified is this word here, hagiazo. If you would go to a lexicon or a concordance and you would look up the word sanctified in the book of Hebrews, in this particular verse, this Greek word hagiazo would appear. In the English, it says sanctified, but in the Greek, it's hagiazo. Now, the Greek words, or the Greek word that are rendered by the English words, an unholy thing, see in verse 29, after the word sanctified, an unholy thing, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing. Those words there are this one Greek word here, and it's koinos, the word koinos. Now, most of the time when the word koinos is used, it means, or it's translated, common. This is the meaning of it, common. Seven times. One time that this word koinos is used, they decide to use the words an unholy thing, unholy. But if you look up in the Greek, the word koinos is here. And koinos means common, koinonia, koinonia, this sort of thing. It's a fellowship, a common thing, okay? The word koinos is translated common seven times in the King James Version, and it's only translated one time unholy, and that's where it's at here in Hebrews. However, the basic meaning of the word is common. In this verse, we see the word hagiazo, which is sanctified, and we see that hagiazo is used, sounds like a Mexican hot sauce, hagiazo is used to distinguish something from that which is common, to distinguish something from that which is koinos. It says unholy, but it's the word common. For it speaks of those who consider the blood of the covenant by which they were sanctified, as that if that blood was just common. Like the Hebrew word kodash was used here, sanctified, the Greek word hagiazo is used in this verse to indicate a separating from the common for some purpose. Look at verse 11 of Hebrews 9. But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats or calves, but by his own blood, Hebrews 9:12, but by his own blood he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Verse 13. Look at it in your Bible. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean, koino is the word unclean. Koino is the verb related to the word koinos. It's in the same word family. Instead of unholy thing, the one time it's translated back in Hebrews, here they decide to translate it unclean. But the basic meaning of the word coming from the same root is still common. It's common. The Greek word rendered unclean in verse 13 is koino, which is the verb related to koinos, which means to be common. Here the literal translation of it could be rendered those who are common, because it's talking about people. The Greek word rendered sanctified in verse 13, again, is hagiazo, and it's used here to refer to the separating from that which is common by the blood and ashes of an animal. In order to separate out the people, to sanctify them, what the high priest would have to do, he would have to take the blood and go through the altar, whole thing, and the ashes, and do all these kind of things in the Old Testament. This was done under the law of Moses. By the time he was done, it sprinkled and sanctified out the people. Okay, but this was done under the law. Verse 13 indicates that the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling those who were common, sanctified them, or it separated them. And then you see here it says to the purifying of the what? Now, here's a context that adds in the understanding, once again, a cleansing or a what? Purifying. But that does not necessarily define the word. That's in the context and it's added to it. You understand? So don't read red Corvette into the GM. But in this particular context, it adds it to it. Verse 14 goes on to tell us that the blood of Christ would do much more than the blood of those animals, implying that the blood of Christ would be even more effective in separating people from that which is common and be even more effective in purifying them. That's correct. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter 1. And I don't mean to be boring with this stuff, but I promise I won't do this again. But I need to set this down, because once you understand this and the logic of it, you'll be able to track it through to see where I'm going, where what the Word is teaching. It doesn't matter where I'm going, because you don't want to follow me. Right? When people say that, I say, you better follow Jesus. You're in better shape. It's where the Word's going. In 1 Peter chapter 1, so what we got, not to be repetitive, but that's the mother of learning, is you got sanctified and you got the adjective form, holy. Then you got sanctified and you got the adjective, well, we didn't get the adjective yet, so I'm getting ahead of myself. But you got sanctified, which is common, and you got sanctified from which is common here. Now let me show you the adjective form. Verse Peter 1, verse 15. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of what? Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am what? The Greek word holy in verse 15 and verse 16 is the word hagios. Hagios is the adjective form of hagiazo. Now we got hagiazo, and we got hagios. We got the adjective here. We got this word here, kodash, and we got kodash. We got the adjective of the Old Testament. And we got, pardon me, we got the place where it came from in the Old Testament that's referred to in the New Testament, because the words, be ye holy, for I am holy, in verse 16, are also used in Leviticus 11, verse 45, which we saw used the corresponding Hebrew adjective, kodash, to describe someone as separated or marked off, set apart from that which is common. It was a description of that which was marked off. In that particular place, it was a person, a group of, they were to be the children of Israel. They were to be what? They were to be holy, because the Lord was holy. Look at 1 Peter 1:15 again. But as he which had called you is holy, who called them? God. So be ye what? Now he's telling the people, you be holy in all manner of what? In other words, just be good boys and girls, right? Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. The Greek adjective hagiazo, or hagios, is used to describe someone who is separated or set apart from the common, as the Hebrew adjective kodash was used. It's used to describe the someone who's been separated from the common. Now, go to Ephesians chapter 5, please. I promise it'll all make sense in another session or two. In Ephesians 5, verse 25, it says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify, hagiazo, the top word, sanctify, and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy, hagios, and without blemish. Here again we have hagiazo, sanctified, and we got the adjective form of it, hagios, holy. The Greek word hagiazo in verse 26 is used of Christ separating the church from that which is common in order to present it to himself, in comparison to the manner in which a man separates his wife from the common lot to present it to himself. The common lot in this room is every woman of the age that's available to be married. All right? And a man would separate a woman of the available age to be married from this common lot to himself. In this particular case, I would pick my wife, Kim. I would pick Kim. No offense, but that's who I'd pick. That's how a man would separate a wife from the common lot. All right. This occurrence of sanctified draws a vivid picture of the kind of separation indicated by the word sanctify. Thus, a man who chooses a wife is to separate her out from all other women, specifically to be devoted to the marital relationship. Okay? There are things that he shares with his wife and his wife shares with him that nobody else gets a part of. That's the way that woman is sanctified in that man, and that's the way that man is sanctified to that woman. That's the way it should be. All women are the common lot. The wife is to be set apart from them by the man, by the husband, and to be devoted and dedicated to their marital relationship. The Greek adjective hagiazo is used in verse 27 of the church being holy, sanctified, or separate from that which is common, as the wife is separate from the common lot of all other women. The church is to be separated out from that which is common. God calls the church from one common group. That is who? Mankind, right? Who's the common, what's a common denominator in the church? People. The church is made up of what? Cindy Lou Who? It's who's, right? It's people. The common lot are people. Now, the people who decide to believe, God separates them out. You understand? But he chooses all from all. For God so loved the world that he gave, right? All people. All people. All right. The Greek adjective hagiazo is used in verse 27 of the church being holy, sanctified, or separate from that which is common, as the wife is separate from the common lot of all other women. We have seen that the Greek words hagiazo and hagios, hagiazo, many times translated sanctified, and hagios, mostly translated holy, are used in the scriptures much in the same way as the Hebrew words kodash and kodash in the Old Testament were used. Both the Hebrew and the Greek words that were used of a dividing, a marking off, a separating, or a setting apart of a people or things from that which is common, with the result that they are dedicated or devoted to some special purpose. We looked at each word's associated adjective. Here it is here, kudosh. Here it is here, hagios. They were the associated adjectives of each word. Kodash, mostly translated holy in the Old Testament, and the corresponding Greek, hagios, mostly translated holy in the New Testament and in the Gospels. Now, in order to go further into this study and set the great accuracy of these words, we have to consider what is an adjective, and how does an adjective relate to us? In grammar, an adjective is a word describing a noun or a pronoun. It describes or qualifies a noun or a pronoun. Now, to describe something is to explain it, to give an account of it to somebody by giving a detail of its characteristics. In other words, its defining features. It's a red Corvette, right? That's describing the Corvette. To qualify something can mean to modify or restrict a word. Those of you that are 65 can share in the senior special. You know, you got to be 65 to do that. It also means that the first round of competition is complete and the preliminary part of the competition successful, and that you have earned the right to go on to the next stage. Qualifications. Anybody goes to the racetrack, you know, you got to qualify to race, didn't you? If you win the first race, you'd be able to go to the second race till you get the cup, right? That qualifies. Thus, when we come across the words kodash and hagiazo, sanctify, kodash, Hebrew, Old Testament, hagiazo, Greek, New Testament. When we come across those words, we must consider that when they are dealing with sanctification in the scriptures, that the record is speaking of someone or something that is being set apart from the common lot for some special purpose. Okay, sanctified. It's set apart from the common lot for some special purpose. The day of slaughter, the Sabbath, the get them together for bail, whatever the purpose is. Likewise, when we come across the corresponding adjectives, kodash and hagias, mostly translated holy in the scriptures, we must consider that the record is describing someone or something that is set apart from the common for some special purpose. Now, there's a world of difference between being set apart because of the accomplished works of Jesus Christ and legally identified with Him and all the fullness of what God gives you in the new birth, and being described as holy in your walk, in your practical Christian application. One is given to you solely on the merits of your substitute, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. However, devoting your walk to the reverence of God, who has already devoted you to an inheritance in His kingdom, is your daily choice. It's not a question with regards to what a person has in Christ. It's a question with regards to walking and pleasing God. One pertains to what a person already has in Christ. The other pertains to what a person ought to do in his or her life to please God. God has not sanctified us in Christ, but that He, and just leaves us there, but God does this for a purpose, the purpose being He would desire that we would walk as children who are separated out from the common unbelieving lot of mankind. So to recap, kodash, mostly translated sanctified in the Old Testament, means to separate that from which is common and to separate it for a purpose. Kodash, which is the adjective form of this word, mostly translated holy in the Old Testament, describes that which is separated. It's a description of what has been separated. To separate the car off is this one. It is a red Corvette. Now that describes what's been separated off. Hagiazo is the corresponding Greek word that is translated sanctified in the New Testament. We saw in the occurrence that we looked that it separates from that which is common because it spoke of those people who were sanctified, thought it an evil thing, an unholy thing, the blood that they were sanctified. In other words, they thought that it was just a common blood. It wasn't just common blood. It was the blood of who? The Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's nothing common about that. As a matter of fact, that was perfect. And we see that the adjective form, hagios, which is mostly translated holy in the New Testament, is a description of the sanctification. That's why we read in 1 Peter chapter 1, and we'll continue to study from here, but not today. As He which has called you is holy, then the exhortation is, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Why? Because it is written, I am holy, be ye holy. Understand? So you're going to see as we continue to go on that sanctification has two parts. And you're going to see that God sanctified Jesus Christ. But you're also going to see that John 17 says, I sanctify myself for their cause. For this reason, I sanctified myself for them. That God not only sanctified Jesus Christ, but Jesus Christ had to make a decision to sanctify Himself. Now, Jesus Christ moved in and out among the sinners. Jesus Christ moved in and out among the evil and the common of the world. But Jesus Christ had to make the daily decision Himself to separate Himself from that sin. See, it doesn't mean that you can't go in it and minister and bless. It just means that you don't let that get in you. Remember what happened to Lot? Lot got into Sodom and Gomorrah, and then Sodom and Gomorrah got into who? He didn't keep sanctified. You understand? So, I promise no more Greek, no more Hebrew for a while. And next time we're together, it'll be level 2, second grade, my mentality to share. Okay, so let's pray. Father, thanks for your word. And I understand, Father, that I probably, anybody could do this better than me, but just give them the understanding that they need to see and the logic wherewith, you know, we can track this through and cover for where I fell short, Father, that they can just see that there is a difference. And thank you, Father, that we can choose to sanctify ourselves, not because we want to become something or that we have to do something to become something, Father, but we do it because of who we are and because of our love for you, and that we want to stand accountable for you and we want to stand up and be counted. We don't want to lay down, Father. When someone calls for help, we don't want to go to the back of the class. We don't want to hide and duck under the desk. We want to raise our hand and say, here I am, send me. That's why we want to do it, Father, because we're thankful and we understand all that you've done for us. We love you, Father, and we thank you for these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Do you ever do that, you know?